Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Brad Hayes, last time you told us what the Supreme Court did this year. Now I want you to tell us what's up next.
Well, there are some interesting things, some interesting developments that we've seen, and some of these might come before the Supreme Court next year, maybe the following year. We'll have to see. But there are some really notable cases we can discuss. There was a case involving, again, the Affordable Care Act that was decided by the U.S.
Otherwise
Court,
known as Obamacare.
Decided by the U.S. Court of Appeal for the D.C. Circuit. And what it did was it struck down a critical provision of the Affordable Care Act and basically said that the federal government may not subsidize health insurance for Americans in states with federally run health insurance exchanges. In other words, the federal subsidies can only kick in states with their own exchanges. Well, what we know is that many kind of conservative and moderate states have not enacted healthcare exchanges. So if you look at the map, I mean, it maps very well with the
red
and blue, right? And if in fact this occurs, that all of these states that have not enacted a state-level exchange do not the individuals therein do not get the subsidies, what it essentially could mean is the collapse of the funding scheme for the Affordable Care Act, and the result would be about 4.3 million people could lose their subsidies.
Mm-hmm.
So this actually would be very devastating to the Affordable Care Act. However, at the same day that the D.C. Circuit decided this decision, a Fourth Circuit decision ruled that the provision is perfectly consistent with the intentions of the legislation and that it is perfectly valid. So what you have there is a conflict in the circuits, and one of the major triggers for the Supreme Court to hear a case is a conflict in the circuits. Now, that being said, that conflict may be resolved actually before it gets up to the Supreme Court. What I think you're likely to see is the D.C. Circuit to sit en banc. And what that means is that most of the time when a circuit court is hearing a case, it's on a panel of three judges.
Mm-hmm.
But the courts have the power to sit as a whole. That's what en banc really means, as a whole, where all of the judges in the circuit will hear the case, and essentially they can overturn themselves. And one of the interesting things about the D.C. Circuit is that now Obama recently appointed four new judges to that circuit. It is now a...
And how many of them, Brad Hayes, were on the court that came down with the decision? Do we know that? The negative decision about Obamacare?
It was a 2-1 decision with two...
the old guys.
Yeah, two conservatives and one Democratic.
Well, that's very interesting. Also, I've always been a great believer that politics, no matter what they tell you about the Constitution and reading the Constitution, that politics has a lot to do with, you know, the exigencies of government. And you take away health care from a lot of people who have gotten it now, there are going to be some very unhappy people and some very unhappy governors who now are going to have to go back to the drawing boards and say, get blamed for their opposition.
Yeah, I think that's right. And one of the I think, interesting things about the Affordable Care Act that we've seen is that there's been a significant rise in support mm-hmm. for it now that people are experiencing it. And in fact, that includes Republican support. There's some new polling data out that Republican support is significantly on the rise for those that have experienced coverage under the act. In fact, it's in the 70th percentile for those who have experienced it that identify as Republican. So that just may, in fact, you know, kind of demonstrate your point that there's actually a real danger in doing this, that people are now growing to like the Affordable Care Act right when it may be taken out.
And Roberts, of course, leading the court, upheld Obamacare.
He did in a case that, if you're going to strike down the Affordable Care Act, that was the case to do it, not something like this. The D.C. Circuit's reasoning was very pained. It's the Fourth Circuit decision that upheld it was a was a much better statutory interpretation. So it does seem as if there is a pretty good pathway for the Affordable Care Act to be upheld in this provision, even if the D.C. Circuit initially struck it down.
I want to go very quickly because we have so many things I want to talk to you about, but I want to go very quickly to the recent article that we all read in the paper that said there is now, by some political experts, political scientists, who said there's a 60% chance that the Republicans will take the Senate. What do you think about that?
It's hard to, I mean, in certain fashion, it's hard to put a particular percentile to it. But yeah, I would agree generally with that, that there are better chances than not that they take the Senate. I mean, there are several races that we're watching, right? There's places like Montana, South Dakota, West Virginia, Arkansas, Alaska, Louisiana, North Carolina, Iowa. Those are the big ones that we're watching, with Georgia and Kentucky kind of on the periphery. Well, increasingly, it looks like Montana, South Dakota, and West Virginia are breaking Republican. That brings the Republican count up to 48 if all of those go to the Republican candidate.
They need 51.
Right, they need 51. So let's assume that the Democrats are able to flip either Georgia or Kentucky, right, to bring that down to 47. That means that they have to then win three out of four in North Carolina, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Alaska, all of which voted for Romney. Okay, if you look at the numbers there, the Democratic candidate holds an advantage in North Carolina and Alaska in current polls. Now, a long way yet to
this is when people race. Just start to focus on politics.
Right, exactly. No, I think that's exactly right. But it also appears that Louisiana and Arkansas seem to be trending Republican. You know, that suggests that it's going to be very, very close. But if they can just win the states that Romney won, then Republicans should take the Senate.
And think about this. We only have a couple of minutes here, but think about this. That'll mean there's a Republican House, a Republican Senate, certainly a Republican Supreme Court, although people tell me that that's not the proper way to speak about it. I think it is. You see these 5-4 decisions. And one Obama. This is going to be hell for him.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult. I mean, you know, you often see in that the final 2 years of a presidency, the president looking abroad, and we may well see that.
Looking abroad to sort of I can't get anything done here.
Exactly. International affairs only. Obviously, there's one ray of hope for Democrats, and that's that when you're looking at some of the past big victories in congressional elections, the enthusiasm gap was much larger than what it is. If you back to 2010, Republicans had something like a 13-point enthusiasm advantage over Democratic voters. In 2006, Democrats held a 17-point advantage in enthusiasm. And right now, it's only at about 8 points for the Republicans. Mm-hmm. And while that's still an advantage, it is smaller. So there is some things that the Democrats can do to try to kind of either minimize the damage, right, so that you continue to hold the Senate, or in fact try to flip it a little bit so that maybe in fact you can do a little bit more to ensure holding the Senate.
When we come back, I want to talk to you, Brett Hayes, about some of the congressional races that are closer to home here, because many of our listeners are honing in on what they ought to do or what they think about all of this. So Brad Hayes is Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College, holds a PhD in Government and Politics from the University of Maryland. His areas of expertise include American political development, constitutional politics, and American institutions. He is, we like to say here, scholar in residence at WAMC, as well as his paid work at Union College. Thanks so much for being with us, Brad.
Thank you.